Bibles, if you would please, tonight, and open them to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians. We're going to start a new journey, and we're going to call it the journey of joy as we go through the book of Philippians now, from now to probably to the end of Christmas. But let me draw your attention tonight to a new series, and the book of Philippians was Paul's joy of his life. The Philippian believers, he called them the joy of his life, and they brought great joy to the Apostle Paul, was this little church, a little band of believers at Philippi. And Paul's writing this letter, of course, while he's in jail. Paul's in prison at Rome, chained to a Roman soldier, and writing the Word of God and trying to encourage this little church to keep the faith, keep their joy, keep rejoicing, don't get downhearted and downtrodden, don't become discouraged, and their discouragement and their downhearted and downtroddenness was their concern over the Apostle Paul being in prison. And so he in turn writes to them and said, hey, you know, let me tell you what's going on. Let me tell you what's happening here at Rome because of my incarceration. You see, folks, the gospel will always go forth and be spread. And we don't have to worry about it. So he gives and we can see in this, we call this a journey of clarity because Paul has such clarity of his mission, his purpose in life, what his mission is, what his goal is, and he shares that with these wonderful people here. And so we're going to take a look at it, and for time's sake, we've got 12 to 20 verses here through 12 through 20 in chapter 1, and so we'll bypass that and pick it up and begin looking at verse number 12, of course, here in just a moment. But you know what? I'm going to read it anyway. Let's follow along with me if you would, please. Philippians chapter 1, verse number 12. But I would ye should understand, brethren. In other words, Paul is telling the Philippian church here, listen, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand something. And here's what I want you to understand. That the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Do you see that? So that my bonds, even though my bonds in Christ are manifest, look at this, the suffering, the persecution he's going through, it's manifest, notice where, first of all, in all the palace. This is Nero, wicked Emperor Nero of Rome, and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bones, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. This is what he's telling them, what's happening there in Rome, why he's incarcerated in prison. Okay? Now, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and we've got that today. And some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to even add affliction to my bonds. He thinks because of what they're doing, they're going to add even more hurt to the Apostle Paul and hurt his ministry. And that's those that are preaching even. It happens today, by the way. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, regardless of what's going on and what's happening, Christ is preached. That was Paul's concern. And I therein, here it is, do rejoice, and yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation, that is deliverance, by the way, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. What a letter of encouragement to these believers in Philippi, that they too were under persecution, because you got to remember this was all going under Roman providence, under Nero, who was a wicked, evil emperor of Rome. And this was bad stuff going on. And so how in the world, church, did Paul have such clarity in spite of all what he was facing and all of what he was going through? And experiencing. That's because he had one purpose in life, and if you got it here at all, that was to preach the gospel. That was the purpose of Paul, no matter what, even in his death, even in his life, was to proclamate the gospel of Jesus Christ, to get people saved and born again. And that was his purpose, that was his goal, that was his ambition, that was his life. And therefore, even though he was being incarcerated, even though he was in trouble, even though he was in chains to a guard in prison, he had such clarity about his mission and his purpose in his life that he shared it with these Philippian believers. Hey, listen, man, don't worry about me. Everything's going to be all right. God's got everything under control. In spite of my circumstances, in spite of my situation, I have such clear clarity of what God is doing. Now, we got to get to that point in our lives. It's easy to stand up here and preach it and hey, amen, hallelujah, and all that, but to put it to practice is tough sometimes, isn't it? And we all sit here and say, well, I'm not Paul. No, we're not. But we have the same Christ. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Amen? And we have the indwelling of the Spirit of God who can help us to be the same way in spite of whatever we're going through. You see, if our clarity of our focus and purpose in life is the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get the gospel out and to get people saved, we can do it. No matter what. No matter what. So let's take a look at it. And I want us, first of all, I want you to see the perspective of Paul. Paul's perspective here was to go to Rome. Well, guess where he's at? He's in Rome. All right? He was to go to Rome with the gospel. I want to preach the gospel in Rome. Now, he didn't know he was going to have to go there by way of prison. You see, where do you want to take the gospel tonight? Who do you want to take it to? And what cost are you willing to pay to do it? You see, what are we willing to do? All right? He was there. And he was in arrest, he was in jail, and too many of us, I think at times, would take a look at this in Paul's life and say, this is a failure. But not to this man, because this man was single-minded. He was concerned more about sharing the gospel of Christ than he was about being in prison and about being in jail. And that's where we got to get to that place. Regardless of the circumstance, the situation we find ourselves in, we need to be single-minded, have clarity of mind, and be more concerned, not with what I'm experiencing, not what I'm going through, and I'm not minimizing any of that, church, but become more concerned with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Isn't that our purpose? Isn't that what we're here for? Why is this church here? We're to be a beacon. We're to be a lighthouse into the world. We're to take the gospel into the world. We're to take the gospel into the prisons. And we're doing it by way of radio and television. And it costs something, doesn't it? They don't give us radio and television for free. You see? But so many other churches around town don't want to do that. They don't want to get on television. They don't want to get on the radio. They don't want to pay the cost. And so who's in there for them? Thank God that Central now has their own little radio station, 100-watt station, Dr. Andy Bloom over at Central. And they're broadcasting. And they were able to pick up Dr. Bloom in prison. Now, he preaches the gospel. He's a good doctrinal preacher. He's solid in his doctrine. He's just not as loud and excited as I am. That's all just different people, different personalities, different temperament. But it makes no difference, you see, Paul said. You see, as long as Christ is being preached and people are getting saved. And we shouldn't be jealous. We shouldn't be envy if he's winning more souls than we are. See, that's the wrong attitude to take. We ought to be rejoicing and thanking God that, hey, even though Dr. Bloom may have a different personality, a different temperament and everything else, people are getting saved. Amen. So Paul's perspective here, man, I mean, this guy had such a steadfast perspective in this, even in the circumstances of his life. Such clarity. Listen to what he says, brethren, Philippians 3:13. I count not myself to apprehend. In other words, I haven't arrived spiritually. I'm not there. But this one thing I do. Say that with me. But this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. What a purpose in life. What clarity this man had. So let's take a look at this perspective that Paul had very quickly. And we're just going to go down through the verses here real quickly. All right, let's look at verse number 12, right? Okay, right off the bat. I want you to see the progress of the gospel. The progress of the gospel. How many think the gospel ought to be, we ought to have a progress of the gospel? Well, let's take a look at it. Look at verse 12 with me. Everybody reading along in verse 12. All right, but I would ye should understand, brethren. All right, you need to understand something tonight, church. that the things which happened unto me. Now, folks, things are going to happen unto us, okay? Can everybody agree with me on that? All right, but watch this. Have fallen out rather unto what? Here it is. The furtherance of the gospel. You see, the very thing that happened unto Paul has fallen out and has become a furtherance of the gospel here at Rome. He wanted to go to Rome and preach the gospel. Well, God sent him there, but it may not have been the way he was planning on going. I mean, none of us plan to go to jail or prison, do we? And see, most of us would say, oh, that's it, it's done. Poor old our brother Paul, the Philippian people, the Philippian churches over there, oh, we got to pray, we got to fast. Our brother Paul's in prison, and the gospel's not going to go forth, and the gospel's going to stop because the great apostle now is chained to a Roman soldier. And how's the gospel going to be spread in Rome? And Paul says, hey, don't weep for me or get upset about that. Because of that, the gospel is spreading. The progress of the gospel. Listen to what Paul said here. Follow along in your notes with me. I got some verses here for you. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. You can't bind God's word in a prison. It's still going to go forth. That's what he tells young Timothy here. He comes back in Romans chapter 8. And by the way, we all know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. What was Paul's purpose? Was to preach the gospel in Rome. He didn't know. God didn't tell him how he was going to do it. But where was he? He was in Rome, and he says, because what has happened to me, the gospel is being further spread. There's a revival going on in Rome. Oh, this is unbelievable. Look at the propagating of the gospel. Somebody's got to propagate the gospel. Look at verse 13 with me. All right. So that my bonds in Christ, okay, well, in the bonds, where's he at? He's in prison. He said, are manifest. In other words, they're made known, they're revealed. Watch this. In all the palace and in all other places. Can you imagine that? The gospel now is being preached right under the nose of Nero in the palace. Can you imagine that? And this is what he's talking about. See, even though I'm in bonds, even though I'm chained to a Roman soldier here at Rome, the gospel is being spread throughout the palace of Nero and throughout all the province of Rome where he was at. So he says, hey, Church of Philippi, cheer up. Put a smile on your face. Have some joy. Rejoice in what God is doing over here, even under the strangest of circumstances. Wow. Propagate the gospel. One of the greatest things of that, I think, and we gave that to you here, I think one of the greatest stories or illustration of that is the story of Joseph. How many of you remember Joseph? Oh, the envy and the strife and the envy and the jealousy of his brothers because of his multicolored coat that daddy gave him. And they just couldn't stand this kid. Let's take him and kill him. And they took and threw him in a pit, got some animal, bloodied it all up, took the coat back to the father, told his daddy, hey, look what's happened. The son is dead. Well, then they got to feeling a little bit bad about that. So they went back, pulled him up out of the ditch, saw a caravan going by, sold him to a caravan. He winds up down in Egypt as a slave and sold on a slave block to Potiphar. You see, now he's in Potiphar's house as a slave. And before the thing's all over with, he's the second in command of all of Egypt under the Pharaoh. And you know the famine took place, and the brothers come, and they're asking for food, and he didn't know it was them, and they didn't know it was he at first, if you read the story. And he told them to go back to their father, and they went back, and the father tells them to go back and tell them this. And when they came back, Joseph then realized that these were his brothers. And look at what Joseph says. Oh, this is great. And what did Joseph end up doing? Saving his family and all of Israel during a seven-year famine. But as for you, you, my brothers, this is Joseph talking to him, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Whatever God's doing in our lives may be to save someone. If we'll get the right heart motive and attitude about it, and have the right perspective, and have clear clarity, thought in our mind, what's going on, and what God is doing, and what our purpose is, what our goal is, to reach people with the gospel. That has to become the ultimate thing about us. Not everything else we have, not everything else we want. I mean, those things will come and go, okay? But the gospel is for eternity. It's forever. Jesus is coming, church. And he's coming soon. And if we're going to do anything, we got to do it now. Well, we got the time and the opportunity to do it. But look at this. I want you to see a third thing of proliferating of the gospel. The proliferating of the gospel. Down in verse 14. Look what he says in verse 14. Here we have the progress. Here we have the propagating of it. Now we have the proliferating of it. This is really great. Verse 14. And many, say that with me. And many, say it with me again. And many of the brethren in the Lord waxing, watch this, confident by my bonds, by my imprisonment, by my being chained to a guard here, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. You see, in other words, enthusiasm promotes enthusiasm. Encouragement will promote encouragement. Zeal will promote zeal, you see, in the lives of people. And that's exactly what was going on, you see. The gospel was growing by the brethren that were now being encouraged with what Paul was going through, and they're going around Rome spreading the gospel. Right under Nero, in his turf, for his territory, right in the Vatican City. It's where Rome is. Rome, Italy is what we're talking about. All right? This is unbelievable. The word proliferating means to grow. It means to increase by a rapid production of new units. And Paul says, look at all these many brethren in the Lord now have gotten waxed bold, and they're going out and sharing the gospel of Christ. So he's telling the church at Philippi, don't mourn, don't be sorry, don't get down because I'm in prison. It's okay. God is still on the throne. God is still in control, even though I'm in prison. And by the way, while I'm here, I'm writing you this letter that will end up in the New Testament called the Bible. And in the meantime, revival's breaking out in Rome. Brothers and sisters are going around Rome spreading the gospel. People are getting saved. That's my heart. That's my desire. That's my perspective. He said, that's what I'm all about. That's what my life's about. Even in my death or where I'm living is the gospel. That people get saved. Nothing else mattered to Paul. He said, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. And over he was constantly, we preach Christ. We preach Christ. That was his goal and ambition in his life. But I want you to see now, always, mark it down. All you mark it down, church, I've told you this. Whenever God's moving and God's Spirit's moving and God's moving in a church, you can mark it down. The enemy's going to show up. And it always does. And the devil doesn't care where or who or what. He's always going to pop his ugly head up. And most of the time it'll be what you don't think or who you don't think. But he will do it. Watch this now. Because you see, not only is there perspective of Paul, but I want you to see the problem with other believers. The problem with other believers. Are you with me? And by the way, Paul's letting us know in Timothy here that all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And that persecution can come in many ways and many facets and by many different people. And in this case, it was the brethren in the church. Hello. You with me? Verse 15. I want you to see here with this. The problem with other believers. And the first problem, some were envious. Jealous. Look what he says, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ. They were preaching Christ, even of envy and strife, causing strife and envy, jealousy. Now, Paul said that didn't bother him as long as Christ was being preached and people were being saved. But he says it's going to happen and the enemy's going to come. And it comes through jealousy and envy and strife. You see, and this is what was happening. Some of these believers now were going out and preaching Christ and winning people to Christ, and Paul's excited about it. But what happened, everybody was talking about, of course, Paul and the great apostle, and how Paul was this and Paul was that, and Paul was talking about, of course, Paul and the great apostle, and how Paul was this and Paul was that, and Paul's a great teacher, and Paul's a great preacher, and Paul this and Paul that. Well, they were getting jealous about that and getting envy about that, so they decided they'd go raise some ruckus. And even he said they meant it to go against him, that they would add affliction to his bonds, they would add trouble to his ministry. They would do what they could do to hurt his ministry because they were envy and jealous of what they were getting tired of hearing all about Paul. And that happens today in the church today amongst God's people. It happens against choir people, singers, pianists, musicians, preachers, Sunday school teachers. Let somebody start talking about it. Well, he brother this and so-and-so, boy, he's a this, he's a that, and he's a that. And so this person does too. Well, this person gets jealous because nobody's talking about me. You know, nobody's lifting up my name. Nobody's bragging about me. And so what do? They cause strife and envy in the church against the other one, brother. You see, because it's not about Christ and the gospel. It's all about them. Let's see how much damage we can do. Let's see how many people we can lead away. Because our ego gets deflated. Pride comes in. And pride gets puffed up. And now it's, oh, so-and-so and so-and-so, but not me. I don't care who gets up here, as long as they're biblical and scriptural, and they talk and preach and teach about the Lord. And people get saved, and there's people got saved, and people come up here and preach, and I say, man, I don't care. And so they say, boy, you've been preaching and teaching for 10 years. That person never moved. The person walks in here and says they get saved. Praise God. Somebody got saved. Hallelujah. They're preaching Christ. They're preaching sound doctrine. And you want good sound doctrine preaching to help your people and to teach your people. But what does bother me is when they get up here and talk about themselves all the time. Aren't I wonderful? Look what I've done, how much I've done, how well, and on they go. And they're going to make sure you know what they've done, how much they've done, and just constantly talk about themselves and never lifting up Christ. And that hurts the cause of Christ. That hurts the gospel. And then when somebody starts talking, the pastor or the associate does this and that and blah, 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 then they get their ego all deflated and, whoa, my goodness, here goes problems. Because they're not talking about you. They're not building up you. Caroline, we've experienced that before we ever came here. I know what he's talking about. We were an associate in another church, associate pastor, and came to do everything the pastor asked us to do and was doing everything the pastor wanted us to do. Everything. Because I was serving to him. I placed myself under his ministry and his leadership. He was my pastor. He was my boss. And I'm going to submit to him and his authority and whatever he would have me to do. Well, the people in the church started talking about me. Look what Brother Ragsdale's doing. Look what Brother Ragsdale's done. And all this. Well, he got upset and got mad and fired me and kicked me out on the street. Am I telling the truth? But to find out, I wasn't the only one. Did that to the one before me. Did that to the two after me. Because the preacher had an ego trip. And he didn't want anybody out there outshining him. He didn't care that souls were being won, people were being taught, the church was improving, the church was growing. He couldn't rejoice in that because why? It wasn't all about him. Carol and I even know a pastor here. We don't know him. We know of him by reading about him. He was a pastor who was pastoring a large, massive church, tremendous ministry, just resigned it, walked away from it, and said why? And started another little ministry with he and his church and what they're doing, a global ministry. And he said, here's the reason why I left. He says, because the church got to talking too much about me and not about Jesus. They were lifting me up too much instead of Jesus. He said, so I figured it was time for me to leave because as John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. And that pastor resigned a massive ministry simply because the people were always promoting and talking about him. And I praise God for him. There's going to be the problem of those that are going to envy that. Matter of fact, President Harry S. Truman said this, it's amazing what you can accomplish if you do not care who gets the credit. But there's some just can't handle that. They want the credit for everything. And if you don't, they'll let you know it. And it hurts. And it hurts the church and the ministry because, you see, they're not concerned about souls. They're not concerned about people getting saved. They're not concerned about the ministries. If it's television, radio, reaching out, the missions, let's cause strife and put a hurt to that because, after all, look who I am. And they're not talking about me and bragging about me. Church, you need to wake up, get some spiritual glasses on, have some spiritual discernment, and know what's going on and what's happening around you. So some were very envious. And simply this, and there came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, talking about Christ now, to whom thou bearest witness. Remember, John bore witness of Christ, and behold, the same baptizes. Now they're telling him that now Christ is baptizing, and all men are coming to him. And John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. That's where it's to come from. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This is my joy, for therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And that's the way it ought to be. None of us need to shine like lights or anything else except for the light of the gospel. No bragging, no tooting horns, no trying to convince everybody what we do, who did what and what around here. Okay? It's all for the glory of God. We want to promote Christ, the cross, and the gospel. And we don't want to do anything to hurt it. And it doesn't matter if somebody's a better teacher, better speaker. As long as people are being saved and Christ is being lifted up and honored and glorified, then we need to rejoice in that, what Paul is trying to tell us, and praise God for that. Don't get jealous and envy and cause strife. See, the Bible deals with everything. And it hurts. It hurts the church, the cause of Christ, the bride of Christ. See, you don't just hurt the church. You hurt the body of Christ, who's the believers, all right? But you, by the way, the body of Christ and the believers happen to be the bride of Christ, so you hurt the bride of Christ, and the groom doesn't like that. When you hurt the groom's bride, he gets upset, okay? And then it hurts the cause of Christ, it hurts the gospel of Christ, it hurts the outreach of Christ, it hurts the missionaries, it hurts the programs that you have because of all that it influences, all because of ego and pride. And by the way, God hates pride. But some were earnest. There, I got to quickly move on. It's time to go. Some were earnest. Verse 15, he said, some of them there, they did it out of goodwill. Then he said in verse 13, some of them, 17, some of them do it out of love. Okay, so some were earnest about it. Paul said in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You see, there again is his perspective. Paul's clarity was that Israel be saved, and yet there's problems. And then in verse 18, we see that Paul was encouraged. There were envious people. There was a problem with the church. Then there were those that were earnest in what they were doing. And then there were those that encouraged Paul. Remember them which have the rule over you, Paul said, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation or their life and their living. And Paul was encouraged in verse 18. Look at verse 18. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, now watch this, he says, every way that the gospel is preached, whether it be at pretense, those that are doing it for envy, you know, and all that stuff, or in truth, Christ is preached. And therefore, because of that, I do rejoice, yea, rejoice. But as long as Christ is being preached and not causing harm and damage to the church and the body of Christ. Now let's look at lastly real quickly here. I want you to see the provision of the Holy Spirit. The provision of the Holy Spirit. Ready? Here we go. All right, there's some were encouraged. Some were encouraged there. And I want you to see the provision of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has provision here. He provides for us. All right? First of all, I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit, it was activated by prayer. The provision of the Holy Spirit was activated by prayer. Look at verse 19. For I know that this shall turn into my salvation, that's my deliverance, through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Christ. So you see, ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1:11. So prayer is what the Holy Spirit is activated in our lives and in the church by prayer. If we're going to activate the Holy Spirit, it comes by prayer, and we can't function and operate without the power of the Holy Spirit. Or otherwise we're doing it in ourselves. So it has to be activated. Then, now instead of A, put B, aligned. You see, it's the provision of the Holy Spirit. It aligns Paul's purpose. It aligned Paul's purpose. What was his purpose? Verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. The Holy Spirit aligned Paul's purpose to the clarity of his perspective to the purpose of his life, which was the gospel. And the Holy Spirit keeps us lined up. The Holy Spirit keeps us on the right path. The Holy Spirit keeps us going in the right direction. When we get off the path a little bit, the Word of God is to correct us. The Word of God is to reprove us, to rebuke us, and to correct us, and then to instruct us and get us back on the line. So the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to keep us in line. And our line and our purpose is the gospel of getting people saved, not to damage it and to hurt it, but to proclamate it and to spread it. You see, because when all of that stuff happens, you know who gets hurt by all of that? Not only does the church get hurt, the missionaries get hurt. The radio, television gets hurt because the support stops. And when support stops, it hurts. I'm just laying it out there for you. So the Holy Spirit keeps it aligned. Look what Paul says in Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, Paul says, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then, as a result of all of that, the Holy Spirit of God, one of his provisions is not only to activate, it's activated by prayer. It aligns our purpose of this church. The Holy Spirit aligns our purpose, church. And then the Holy Spirit will afford you and I some peace. Anybody want some peace? The Holy Spirit afforded Paul some peace. Revelation 4:11, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure are they are and were created. Oh, the Spirit of God will afford you and I peace. Paul had peace there in verse 20. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I thank God for the boldness that he's given me in Christ. I thank him that the gospel's being magnified in my body, whether through death or by life. And that's why Paul could come back and say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. The journey of joy we're going to take. Tonight was a journey of clarity as Paul addresses this little band of believers in Philippi and says, listen, everything that's happening to me is for a purpose, and it's for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that, folks, that anything that's happened to us or this church, God has a purpose, and it's for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we got to stay focused and stay aligned with the Holy Spirit on the main thing, and the main thing is the gospel. The main thing is to get people saved. What a privilege to have that lady call and say, and I thought about that when Carol told me she called. I missed the call. And I said, Lord, I go back and listen to some of his writings of the boys and the fellows in the Gospels. And they asked the Lord the question, when did we visit you in prison? And I said, God, we visited her in prison through the radio ministry. Hallelujah. Jesus visited her in incarceration in prison through the gospel message of the radio. Now she's living in a house that, what is it, Trinity? Was it Trinity? Blessed Trinity? Yeah, Blessed Trinity Catholic Church bought a motel over on the boulevard. And they put drug rehab people in there. They put homeless people in there. They put incarcerated people that are out of prison and been released and trying to get them a new leaf and a new lease on life and start. And they have a motel there, and they all get a little room just like staying in a motel. And Blessed Trinity Church bought that and put that, and that's where she's at. And now, and over there, she says, they give us Cox Television and Wi-Fi. And I'm able to watch you on the internet and the YouTube, and right now we're watching you on television in my room. and I would love to come out to the church. She said, I went to college at Tennessee Temple, one of the best independent Baptist colleges we had for a long time. No longer in existence, shut down. Sad, brokenhearted over that. Sad. Some great men came out of Tennessee Temple. She said, but I got hooked up with the wrong person. I met the wrong man. And it basically ruined and wrecked my life. And I ended up in prison, incarceration. And she said, I've been released now. I've served my time. And I want to get back in line with church, with the Lord. I've got a job now. I'm trying to get a car where I can have transportation. Because of your giving and your sacrifice, we were in that prison for her every week with the radio. And not only was she listening to it, they all share the same radio. And now she's watching it on television in her little motel room provided by the Trinity Catholic Church to get her life turned around. And we're there for her. When she gets up at 8 a.m. in the morning, every morning, there's the Victory Gospel Hour. But you see, if we let envy and strife get in and we cut that support, then we're no longer there for those people. We will no longer be on radio for those people. We will no longer be on television for those people. These are the kind of calls that we get. Middle of the night, middle of the morning hours. We're so thankful for you being there for us. We can't go to church. We can't get out. We can't see. We can't drive anymore. You've become our church. And I thank God for it. And I say, but oh God, if we let the devil have a victory, then we won't be there for them. Because of strife and jealousy and envy and all that kind of rot gut. Our missionaries will come off the field because we can't support them. We call the station, we can't go on the air anymore. We don't have the money to pay for it. Because the devil came around and hurt. Now we don't have the finances. God help us. God help us. And may it not be said of us, and may it not happen with us. That's a warning. Be careful, be cautious. Stay focused on the gospel. It's not about you and me, folks. It's not about the radio station to tell you how many times there we've been on. No. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel. That's all we preach on that radio station. And that television. That's all God's going to let us put on there. Because we want to see people saved and born again and to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ and set some people free that are in prison tonight that can hear it. The county jail over there is watching Cox at 8 o'clock tonight. We're on, and they're watching us on television. To the glory of God, because you have paid for it and continue to pay for it. But oh, when we don't, that hurts, and it can cost dearly. And we don't want that to happen. Because this is not about George Ragsdale or Carol or anything. God can do without us anytime He wants to. He doesn't need us. He's always got somebody ready to go. We're expendable. Thank God there are better preachers and teachers out there than I'll ever be. Never touched the hem of their garments. And if they're winning souls over here in town and their church is growing in leaps and bounds, we ought to be praising God and rejoicing and saying hallelujah. Not worried because, well, it's not us, and we're better than they are, and I'm a better preacher or teacher than they are, and I've done this and I've done that. That's all of the devil. That's a seed and the root of the devil from the pit of hell, and God, and the devil doesn't care who he uses and how he uses it to destroy the work of God. And it's sad that people can't see that because of ego and pride and everything else. I'm not scolding you. I love you. I just get upset sometimes when I see the cause of Christ hurt and damaged over stupid stuff. Stupid stuff.
but the damage, the hurt that it causes. Just stay focused on this book and stay focused on Christ and let your focus be the gospel. And no matter what your circumstances are tonight, church, no matter where you find yourself in your situation or circumstance, you keep focused on the gospel to get people saved and get the gospel out no matter what. And God will honor that and bless you for it. Simple as that. No fighting, no quarreling. We don't need that in God's house. Simple as that. No fighting, no quarreling. We don't need that in God's house, and we don't need jealousy. I get so sick of jealousy in the ministry, it makes me puke. I love you. I love this church. We love the Lord. Carol and I have given our lives to this. All because of Him. We owe Him everything. We owe Him our very lives. Amen. And whatever we have, whatever abilities, whatever talent, whatever gifts that He's given to us, is all of the Holy Spirit of God. And God gets all the praise and all the glory, every bit of it, because we are nothing. I feel like David in Emmett Times, Lord, I'm nothing but a grasshopper. David one time said, I'm nothing but a worm compared to His glory and who He is. He is the King of glory. He's the Prince and the wonderful Savior. It's all about my Lord and what He's done. And I'm just thankful He lets me even get up here and considers Carol and I worthy to be in the ministry and has given us gifts. People sometimes will say, boy, and I don't even like it when they talk about it. I don't even want to mention it. Oh, blah, blah, blah. And where did you learn to preach? And how? I said, oh, I didn't learn nothing. It's the Spirit of God. It's His gift. It's His Spirit. It's His ability. It's all His, not mine. I'm nothing. If I start tooting and blowing trumpets, you call me down and say, oh, I'm a preacher. You're tooting and blowing the wrong trumpet. Let's blow His trumpet. If you're out here winning souls, praise the Lord. Just don't hurt the church doing it. See, that's what Paul was talking about. Some of them are doing it in spite. He said, some of them are doing it for envy and strife. And he said, some of them are doing it to even to hurt my ministry. That's what he said. But he said, I've got such clarity. He said, I'm so focused on the cross and the gospel. He said, I don't care. He said, as long as people are getting saved, praise the Lord. God will deal with them later. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. It's late, and I'm sorry, and I apologize. Just sometimes my heart gets so heavy and so burdened. Sometimes even preachers have to vent a little bit because I don't have nobody to vent to. Carol and I live a lonely life. Somebody the other day said to me, said, man, preacher, you don't got a clue, man. It's lonely at the top. I said, oh, yeah, try being a pastor. You'll find out how lonely it is. Oh, Lord Jesus. Father, we love You. That's all we can say, God, is we love You. And we thank You for what You've done for us and given to us and who You are. And Lord, any gift, talent, ability that we even think we have comes from You and from the Holy Spirit of God. And Lord, that everything is about You, the gospel, the message. And Father, please, don't let any of us, Lord, do anything to hurt that. The cause, the gospel, the message, the church, the ministries. Lord, I pray for that evil one. God, that You would rebuke him, bind him, in the name of Jesus, not to do his damage and his dirty deeds. And we thank You, Jesus, for saving our sin, stinking, rotten souls.